I'm thankful that we are here in the presence of God. So let's look to Him as we always do and prepare our hearts, both for communion as well as for this, the message He has for us today. Heavenly Father, we thank You today that You are a good and gracious God, a God that is so generous, a God that has never failed us or forsaken us, the God who has loved us so much that You gave us Your only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Lord, we thank You for the privilege to celebrate the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus today. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that Your Holy Spirit will prepare our hearts to do so in a way that honors and blesses Your heart. I commit myself to You and surrender myself to You and to the authority of Your Holy Spirit, that You will do a special work through me today and glorify the name of Your Son, Jesus Christ, in whose precious and powerful name we pray. And all God's people said, Amen. Well, having just finished our comprehensive verse-by-verse study of the prophetic book of Nahum, there is one last thing left for me to do, and that is reciting the whole book of Nahum. As a privileged preacher and teacher of the precious word of God, God continues to challenge and charge me not only to preach the word, handling it accurately as a workman who does not need to be ashamed. He also challenges me to practice the discipline of memorizing and hiding the word of God in my heart, with the help of the Holy Spirit, of course, because without the Spirit, I will not be able to do so. So one of the great blessings of practicing the discipline of memorizing and hiding God's word in my heart is God's gracious work of making His word becoming my delight in life, and making His word so sweet to my taste that I just can't have enough of it. The psalmist declares in Psalm 119, I shall delight in Your statutes. I shall not forget Your word. Psalm 119, verse 16. May Your compassion come to me that I may live, for Your law is my delight. If Your law has not been my delight, then I will have perished in my affliction. And then lastly, he says, how sweet are Your words to my taste? Yes, sweeter than honey to my mouth. I rejoice and thank God with all my heart for doing this gracious work in my life, although I know I have a long way to go in practicing this discipline of memorizing Scripture. I know many people who have done a greater job than me in memorizing Scripture. So for the rest of our time today, before we partake of communion, to remember the supreme sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ, I have the blessed privilege of reciting Nahum chapter 1 to 3 with the assistance of the Holy Spirit living on the inside of me. As usual, I'll be reciting from the updated New American Standard Bible, which is the most literal translation of our Bible into our English language. So please, if you have your Bibles with you, turn them to Nahum for one last time. One last time, we'll be talking about Nahum. And from next week on, God willing, we'll be going in a different direction. So would you please listen carefully as I begin to recite the word of the Lord from Nahum chapter 1 all the way to chapter 3. The Bible says, the oracle of Nineveh, the book of the vision of Nahum, the Elkoshite. The Lord is avenging and wrathful. The Lord is Did I miss? I practiced this before I came. We'll start again. The Oracle of Nineveh, the Book of the Vision of Nahum. A jealous and avenging God is the Lord. The Lord is avenging and wrathful. The Lord takes vengeance on his adversaries, and he reserves wrath for his enemies. The Lord is slow to anger and great in power. And the Lord will by no means leave the guilty unpunished. In whirlwind and storm is his way, and clouds are the dust beneath his feet. He rebukes the sea and makes it dry. He dries up all the rivers. Bashan and Carmel wither. The blossoms of Lebanon wither. Mountains quake because of him, and the hills dissolve. Indeed, the earth is upheaved by his presence. The world and all the inhabitants in it. Who can stand before his indignation? Who can endure the burning of his anger? Who can endure the burning of his anger? Oh, did I miss something? Who can endure the burning of his anger? There's a place where it says, and the rocks are broken up by him. Did I pass that? Okay, let's see where I was. Who can stand before his indignation? Who can endure the burning of his anger? His wrath is poured out like fire, and the rocks are broken up by him. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. And he knows those who take refuge in him. But with overflowing flood, he will make a complete end of his sight, and will pursue his enemies into darkness. Whatever you devise against the Lord, he will make a complete end of it. Distress will not rise up twice. From you, like tangled thorns, and like those who are drunken with their drink, they are consumed completely, as stubble completely withered. Then he goes on to say, from you has gone forth one who plotted evil against the Lord, a wicked counselor. Thus says the Lord, though they are at full strength and likewise many, even so they will be cut off and pass away. Though I have afflicted you, I will afflict you no longer. Even so now, I will break his yoke bar from upon you, and I will tear off your shackles. The Lord has issued a command concerning you. Your name will no longer be perpetrated. I will cut off idol and image from the house of your gods. I will prepare your grave, for you are contemptible. Behold on the mountains the feet of him who brings good news, who announces peace. Celebrate your feast, O Judah. Pay your vows, for never again will the wicked one pass through you. He is cut off completely. Chapter 2. The one who scatters has come up against you. Man the fortress, watch the road. Strengthen your back. Summon all your strength, for the Lord will restore the splendor of Jacob like the splendor of Israel, even though devastators have devastated them and destroyed their vine branches. The shields of his mighty men are colored red. The warriors are dressed in scarlet. The chariots are enveloped in flashing steel when he is prepared to march. And the cypress spears are brandished. The chariots race madly in the squares. They rush widely in the chariots race madly in the streets. They rush widely in the squares. Their appearance is like torches. They dash to and fro like lightning flashes. He remembers his nobles. They stumble in their march. They hurry to her wall, and the mantelet is set up. The gates of the rivers are open, and the palace is dissolved. It is fixed. She is stripped. She is carried away. And her handmaids are mourning like the sound of doves beating on their breasts. Though Nineveh was like a pool of water throughout high days, now they are fleeing. Stop, stop! But no one turns back. Plunder the silver, plunder the gold, for there is no limit to the treasure, worth from every kind of desirable object. She's emptied. Yes, she's desolate and waste. Hearts are melting. And knees knocking. Also, anguish is in the whole body, and all their faces are grown pale. Where is the den of the lions and the feeding place of the young lions, where the lion, lioness, and lion's cub prowled with nothing to disturb them? The lion tore enough for his cubs, killed enough for his lionesses, and filled his lairs with prey and his dens with torn flesh. Behold, I am against you, declares the Lord of hosts. I will burn up her chariots in smoke. A sword will devour your young lions. I will cut off your prey from the land, and no longer will the voice of your messengers be heard. Chapter 3, verse 1. Woe to the bloody city, completely full of lies and pillage. Her prey never departs. The noise of the whip, the noise of the rattling of the wheel, galloping horses and bounding chariots, horsemen charging, swords flashing, spears gleaming, many slain, a mass of corpses, and countless dead bodies. They stumble over the dead bodies, all because of the many harlotries of the harlot. The charming one, the mistress of sorceries, who sells nations by her harlotries and families by her sorceries. Behold, I am against you, declares the Lord of hosts, and I will lift up your skirts over your face and show to the nations your nakedness and to the kingdoms your disgrace. And it will come about that I will throw filth on you and make you vile and set you up as a spectacle. And it will come about that all who see you will shrink from you and say, Nineveh is devastated. Who will grieve for her? Where will I seek comforters for you? Are you better than No Ammon, which was situated by the waters of the Nile, with water surrounding her, whose rampant was the sea, whose wall consisted of the sea. Ethiopia was her might, and Egypt too, without limits. Put and Lubim were among her helpers. Yet she became an exile. She went into captivity. Also, her small children were dashed to pieces at the head of every street. They cast lots for her honorable men, and all her great men were bound with fetters. You too will become drunk. You'll be hidden. You too will search for a refuge from the enemy. All your fortifications are like fig trees with ripe fruit. When shaken, they fall into the eater's mouth. Behold, your people in your midst are women. The gates of your land are open wide to your enemies. Fire consumes your gate bars. Draw for yourself water for the siege. Strengthen your fortifications. Go into the clay and tread the mortar. Take hold of the brick mold. There, fire will consume you. The sword will cut you down. It will consume you as the locust does. Multiply yourself like the creeping locust. Multiply yourself like the swarming locust. You have increased your traders more than the stars of heaven. The creeping locust strips and flies away. Your guardsmen are like the swarming locust. Your marshals are like hordes of grasshoppers settling in the stone walls on a cold day. The sun rises and they flee. The sun rises and they flee. And the place where they are is not known. Your shepherds are sleeping, O king of Assyria. Your nobles are lying down. Your people are scattered on the mountains, and there is no one to regather them. There is no relief from your breakdown. Your wound is incurable. All who hear about you will clap their hands over you. For on whom has not your evil passed continually? This is the word of God to the people of God. May the Lord add his blessing to the recital of his holy word. So this officially brings to conclusion our verse by verse study of the prophetic book of Nahum, in which the destruction of Nineveh is decreed and described for us. A destruction which Nineveh deserved because of her many harlotries and turning of her back on God, who has shown Nineveh so much grace and love and mercy. My prayer is that the Holy Spirit will continue his gracious work of challenging and comforting us with the many precious and practical truths he has taught us, and above all, changing and conforming us more and more into the glorious likeness of Jesus Christ, who is our ruler, our redeemer, who is our rescuer and our refuge, our restorer and our rock, and our rest in this present life and also in the life soon to come. So let's pray as we wrap up our time today before we go into communion. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege. I personally thank you for the privilege to be tested and challenged and pushed beyond my comfort zone. to stand and recite your word as I have memorized it in Nahum. Thank you, Father God, for helping me get back on track when I got lost. You helped me get back on track. So, Holy Spirit, I thank you, and I give you the glory. And I thank you for all the people here who witnessed this today. And I thank you for the example that I can be to them, and the example that they have been to me by faithfully coming here to study your word. I give you all the praise and thanks for all that you have done through our study through the book of Nahum. That has brought so much practical applications to us, especially in the times in which we live. Because how you dealt with Nineveh is a warning to us that if we also turn our backs on you, we can find ourselves in the place that Nineveh was, maybe even a worse place, because you have given us greater light than Nineveh had. And so, Lord, I just pray again for this nation as we come to a critical time in the history of this nation. We pray that your purpose will be accomplished. The Bible says that the lot is cast, but its whole decision belongs to the Lord. So the lot will be cast soon, but the whole decision belongs to you. Why? Because you are still in control. And you are in charge, and you will bring everything that you purpose for this nation to its completion, whether in bringing revival to the land or whether you bring judgment to the land. It's all in your hands, and you are in charge of the destiny of this nation. We simply humble ourselves before you, that we might be in a place where we can look up to you and say, Lord, we need you, and we fall before you, especially in this hour. We need you like never before. Help us to turn back to you and not look to man, because man has not solved out the problems of the heart. Only you, Jesus, can solve the problems of our heart. And so help us to turn to you, no matter who you allow to rule this land for the next 4 years. So we give you all the praise and the glory for challenging us in these days and calling us to our knees to be praying and calling out to you, because without you, we will not advance, and we will not make it further without judgment. So Lord, help us to turn to you with humble hearts, recognizing that we need you like never before. And now, Lord, I pronounce your blessing upon your people. The Lord is good, a stronghold in a day of trouble, and he knows those who take refuge in him. And all God's people joyfully and jubilantly said, Amen.